This is Rich Procida, and I want to invite you to a free webinar about propaganda, what it is, where it comes from, and what to expect this election. I put a link to register in the description for this show. The webinar begins at 1 p.m. Pacific time on Saturday, May 23rd, 2020. You can sign up for this by Googling my name, Rich Procida, and the title. You can find us on Facebook. You can also find a link to the show on my blog at modernlectionaries.blogspot.com. Or you can use this tinyurl.com address, which is tinyurl.com/YAAWLSXR. Let's do that again. YAAWLSXR. Welcome to Bible Study for Progressives, a show where moderates, liberals, and leftists of all faiths and ideologies come together to discuss scripture, spirituality, and politics. We engage scripture in its historical context, plumb its depths for wisdom and guidance, and apply its lessons to current events and social issues. Whether you're a liberal evangelical, a New Age spiritualist, a social justice activist, or a postmodern theologian, there's something in this show for you. Come, be energized in spirit and mind to understand the word and what it means to be a spiritual person in today's world.
So I have Rich Procida, P-R-O-C-I-D-A. With me today is a constitutional lawyer, and he was with a lot of different groups. There were 20 different groups in impeach.org, and people say, oh, it's just about, you know, only Trump. No, it's about the systems of the injustice and the propaganda being perpetuated, and how we'll tie all this in today. Rich also has Bible Studies for Progressives, a podcast talk show, so that we can tie it into the evolution of our species, to the God within, the Christ consciousness, so to speak, but evolving consciousness individually and collectively, and the movement of our civilization into harmony and balance. Anyway, welcome, Rich. Welcome so much. Thank you for being on the show today.
Yeah, thank you, Lynn. Thank you very much. I enjoy being on your show. It gives me the opportunity to educate people about what's going on in the world.
Yes, please do.
Yes. So one of the things that, you know, that I worked on impeachment for a while, and now that the impeachment is over, I've been working on propaganda, and I've created a propaganda awareness training program that people can look up on the internet. There's a press release out there, and you can also go to my blog, modernlectionaries.blogspot.com, and you can.
You might want to just go through that again, real slow, and then even spell the lectionary part. Maybe go for it, please.
Okay, so it's modern lectionaries, and lectionary is spelled exactly the way it sounds: lectionaries. blogspot.com. But now I've moved on. I'm not moving on from propaganda. I'm still doing propaganda trainings and researching that. But in so doing, I've come to, and also have had some experiences, to start looking into cults. And I've been looking into narcissism for some time already, and covert hypnosis attempts. And I think we talked about this before. But, and then also sociopath and psychopathology. I think that what it's very important for people to recognize that we're being lied to and manipulated in many areas. And the people, for example, who are spreading misinformation, who are leaders of cults, are usually narcissists and or psychopaths, or what we call sociopaths. So mm-hmm. A sociopath has no conscience. They don't have any empathy. They don't really care about anybody. And a cult, though, is an organization that uses deception and manipulation to trick people into the cult and into staying in the cult. So there's a lot of deception out there. So we're faced with the deception of propaganda, and then we're faced with the deception on the personal level and with the narcissist in our life. But what we really have to do, and I think this has become a very important and central thing in how I see things, is that we're not in a struggle over ideology. We're not in a struggle over ideas and beliefs. We're not in a struggle over policy. We're in a struggle over power and money. And the sooner we recognize that, the better. Ideas and beliefs are primarily tools used to manipulate us. And that takes you got to wrap your head around that, because all of a sudden now all the things that we are arguing about are not the things that we should be looking at. We should be looking at, is there a narcissist in power in the White House? Is that person associated? This is, the biggest problem the world's faced, and it's faced throughout time, is that for a variety of reasons, narcissists and psychopaths tend to rise to the top. They're very ambitious people, and they want to be better than everybody, and they want to try to get power and money. And they don't care who they hurt to get that. So we need to stop electing narcissists and sociopaths. And sometimes the election is just the result of our collective psychopathology. In other words, our culture tends to encourage narcissism. Narcissists and sociopaths rule nation states. They lead our corporations. They're leaders in our social groups and community groups. So we need to become educated about that so that we can recognize them and avoid them, and if possible, remove them from power. This sort of reminds me of a Bible story, the parable of the wheat and the tares. This is where Jesus describes the world as a field where an enemy came in and sowed weed into the wheat harvest, the wheat field. So it's kind of like that. There's a genetic component to narcissism and sociopathology. Of course, there's a big environmental component as well. There's abuse can cause it, and also having a parent who is a narcissist or psychopath can also cause it. But it seems like that there's some type, this is nature that's done this, that it's as if the world, whatever we're coming into the world, some of us have empathy and we care about everybody. We feel guilty if we do something wrong. And yet there's a number of people, and it could be 3, 5, 10%. And I think as far as narcissism, it's on a continuum that have been sprinkled in with us. And we tend to think, oh, this person is just like me. They have feelings just like me. They have morals, some sense of morals. They want to do the right thing. No, there are people who do not want to do the right thing, who want to cause harm, do evil, control, dominate, take advantage of, abuse others. And so we need to be aware and conscious of that. And I think that's what Jesus was sort of telling us. Paul wrote in Ephesians 6:12, "For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places." So the way they viewed the world was a three-tiered world, with heaven above, hell, our soul, below, and then the material world in between. So they saw the heavenly places as influencing the world. In fact, the kings were gods, so this was a very spiritual world, not like ours where we get science and materialism, and we don't see things in that same spiritual light. But there is this struggle between good and evil in this world, and it's kind of Zoroastrian in a way, that there is this struggle going on, and we need to become a part of that and get on the right side. And if you have these things, and we need to learn about narcissism, not only to protect ourselves, but also to learn what a healthy personality is like, so that we can grow together, learn, change if possible, but protect one another, definitely. Because I think having narcissists as psychopaths, as leaders of nations, is a cause of much evil in the world. And that's sort of the spiritual aspect of it. It's like we can think of it psychologically and material as if this is a person who has a psychological disorder who happens to be in power. But then how did they get there? Why were they born? Why do they exist? And why do we put them in those positions of power? The Bible squarely places the blame on humanity. In Genesis, it's humanity who messes up and then commits a violent act and causes a curse to be put on them. And this is the story. There's a lot of verses in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, that are very difficult. So let's look at one. This is 1 Samuel 15, 2-3. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, I have noted what Amalek did to Israel in opposing them on the way when they came up out of Egypt. Now go and strike Amalek and devote to destruction all that they have. Do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, child and infant, ox and sheep, camel and donkey." So they kill everything. So that's we have to first recognize that the Bible is a blood-soaked, ancient, sacred scripture. Very dangerous in the wrong hands. These instructions might seem to go against everything we believe, and they do. So what were their options? You have to ask, what are their options? Are they to not have any land and starve to death? Are they to allow others to attack them with impunity and destroy them and to take their goods and to take their land? Or are they going to fight back? Do they really have a choice not to fight and kill in this system in which those in power are sociopathic and psychopathic murderers, or that people have gotten greed, prejudice, hatred, anger, selfishness, fear, whatever it is that they is causing them to lash out, fight or exploit, abuse? So what are the choices that we have? So it would be nice if the world were peaceful and the line laid with the lamb, and everyone was a vegetarian, and nobody spilled any blood. This might be a great world in some ways, but it's not the world we have. There's real difficulty here in the world how it is, and the world as it should be. Now, I wanted to turn to John 1, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. It's very famous, very poetic. And it starts out like this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. So this is the hope that we might shine through this darkness somehow. Here's what John, a little later it says, that the Word was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and yet his own people, meaning the nation of Israel, some versions say the world again, his own people did not accept him, and some versions say the world rejected him. In other words, we've rejected the way of the light. That's what Scripture, that's what, when God brought light, we've rejected that way. And it's quite simple that if we just change our priorities, lift up the lowly, send the rich away empty, feed the hungry, then we can change, the world would change. But because we don't have those priorities, because we've rejected the light, the world or the system has rejected the way of governance, the way of being in line with the priorities of God, which is first the poor. That's the top priority. We could change the world, but we can't. We don't. Okay, let's take a look at some of the things that are happening right now. I mean, white supremacy, for instance. Jews will not replace us, people marching like that. Hatred and fear of immigrants. These things are not supported by facts. They're not supported by reality. They're not legitimate points of view. They're expressions of our inner, of our heart, of the darkness and evil that's in the human heart. And that expression comes up through elections as some racist movement or hateful movement or xenophobic movement. It describes the spirit. That's sort of the spirit that comes up. And people choose this. None of it makes sense. A lot of it cannot be justified. And everybody knows that it's wrong. Even those who claim to believe it, they know that being a white supremacist is wrong. They know that what they're doing is evil. It's not a question. So it's not that hard. We don't need to change the system. We don't need a whole analysis and a revolution to reform the entire system and destroy capitalism to get rid of evil. No, we just need to change our priorities. You make it too complicated, and then it becomes manipulated and twisted, right? Because now people can put ideas in our head and make us think things that aren't necessarily going to lead us to that place where we're going to have peace and harmony and enough to eat for everybody and health care for everybody, you know, and places to go if you're in trouble or you're feeling bad, and counseling centers and those health centers you talk about. So it's really not as complicated as people make it out. The problem is that we have a lot of different people, and some of them aren't good. and they get into leadership positions. But also we, in our heart, allow this evil to come to fruition when we are afraid of, you know, when we want it, when we don't like that a black man was elected president, and we allow ourselves to go out there and do things that are wrong and evil just because we don't like that a black man was president. We're afraid that we will lose our power if people of color have the same rights as we do. So, I mean, there are some things that might be complicated, but most of it is not. And we just need to find a way to bring people to the light, to bring them to these priorities, and stop thinking ideology, oh, we need capitalism in order to generate income, in order to create jobs. Well, yeah, we do. But what's the end result if we're not, if people aren't getting a livable wage? I wanted to say something about cults and then move on to propaganda, because there's something important that I don't think I mentioned yet. It's that cults are not about strange beliefs or practices. There's this, if people sometimes think, oh, they have these weird beliefs, they must be a cult. But a cult is not about that. Just because people have weird opinions or maybe give themselves spiritual or religious titles like I do, like sometimes call myself a mystic or a prophet, that doesn't make a person a member of a dangerous cult. A cult is a manipulative group or institution led by a malignant narcissist or psychopath who uses deception and undue influence to control the minds and bodies of cult members. So while we often say, oh, they drank the Kool-Aid, but what we don't really realize is that they've been tricked, coerced, and forced to drink that Kool-Aid. They've been murdered. Yeah, it's not that they've chosen to somehow drink the Kool-Aid. It's that they've been deceived, coerced, and forced to drink it. They've been murdered. That's how we have to see cults. And that cult can be not just some religious group. It can be any type of group, business, self-help. And then people are saying that Trump's following is a cult. And that's where propaganda comes in as mind control techniques. Propaganda is a systematic effort to manipulate people's beliefs, attitudes, and actions by using symbols. So it's not just one image. They're not isolated. They're used together. For example, there's this guy named Edward Bernays. He was one of the first propagandists, or one of the more successful propagandists. He got women to smoke. He made people think that eggs and bacon were a great breakfast and that we needed a hearty breakfast. And I've come to realize that you don't need a hearty breakfast. That's just to get us to start eating right away. One thing he did, he overthrew the government leader, the democratic elected leader of Guatemala. And he did it in such a complex way to get the American public to support a war against Guatemala to overthrow its leader.
This has been Bible Study for Progressives. If you enjoyed the program, please subscribe to our podcast or put us in your favorites and write a 5-star review. Tell your friends about us and share us on social media. Follow us on Facebook and click the donate button at modernlectionaries.blogspot.com. Your support will help us reach more people, produce more and better shows, and cover the cost of production. Feel free to send me a note or comment on the show. I would love to hear from you. Until next time, this is Rich Procida. Thank you for listening.